Ready to elevate your career with a professionally published book? Are you simply not sure where to start? Your search ends here, my friend. Let's walk the publishing path together and bring your book to life with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I'm here to coach thought leaders, executives, and speakers on how to successfully self-publish your book while avoiding common pitfalls. I'm Lana Liquidy-Smargis. Join me each week to acquire practical wisdom and proven strategies and find out what the traditional publishing companies simply don't want you to know. This is more than just a podcast. It's your roadmap to becoming a published author. Get ready to write your blueprint for book publishing success with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Publishing for Professionals podcast. Today, I have a book blueprint episode, and I'm super excited to have my guest on today. He's going to ask me some questions about writing and publishing, and he just recently published a book this past June. Today, my guest is Brad Elder. He's a licensed attorney in the state of Texas and a champion captain of the Chili Dipper. He's an avid golfer and enjoys playing racquetball, hunting, fishing, and a beer, but not at the same time. And so Brad's life goals are to be favored by God, be a great father, husband, and to write a few interesting novels, and to also be a very fine cart partner. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my guest today, Brad Elder. Brad, welcome to the Publishing for Professionals show.
Thank you, Lynn. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on today to ask some questions, because I know a lot of people, especially new authors, have a lot of questions about writing and publishing. And I know you have put out your, I believe it's your first book this past June, correct?
It is. Yes, it's called Recoil of Justice. It's a thriller, action thriller novel. Put it out in June, and it was quite the process being a self-publisher, but there's help out there you can get.
For sure. So tell us just a little bit before you come in with the questions. Tell us a little bit about your book for people that are maybe interested in buying it, and we'll talk about where people can find that at the end of the show.
I love reading thriller novels. Writing one, it was never on my bucket list. I don't have a creative writing degree. I was a business major and went to law school. You know, I've written a lot of things, but never for anyone else's enjoyment, I would say. But as I was reading a novel a couple of years ago, I just had this thought that I think I can do this, and I'm going to try it. But all the great protagonists, and they're fantastic, you always kind of meet them later down their line when their foundation has been laid already. And I wanted a character that you were introduced from the beginning of when he started to gain these skills and knowledge of how to be a great action protagonist, right? My protagonist, Ryan Wolf, is a lawyer. He's an everyday guy, but he's thrust into a situation, which I always wonder when I read those great books, what would I do if I was thrust into the situation that they're in, and probably go screaming and running out of the room is what I would do, but I'm not going to write about that. So I wanted him to be a regular guy caught in the middle of a lawsuit. It starts out as a lawsuit is in the center of the book, and he is a lawyer. I wanted the readers to be able to grow with him as he grows throughout this process. And in the lawsuit, you know, as the onion gets peeled back, there's a tremendous amount of corporate espionage, theft, and some really sinister plots behind this artificial intelligence software and tool, which can be great in the right hands, but could be devastating in the wrong hands. And the story goes through how he uncovers that with some help and what he does in the situation that he's found himself in. I don't want to spoil it, you know, to spoil anything, but he grows a tremendous amount during the book.
Cool. Yes. And with any good fiction book with a character, you want them to grow, right? Because it's not interesting right. If your character just stays the same after they're up. Perfect. So yeah. So tell me, what's your first question about writing and publishing? And it can be about a future book, or can be about the book that you've already published.
You know, when I first started the process, you think, do I want to find an agent and a publisher? Do I want to self-publish? Obviously, we're all probably going down the self-publishing route. I think there's a tremendous amount of positives about that. I think there's a tremendous amount of positives about traditional publishing as well. For me, this felt like the best avenue. But I had all these questions in the beginning, because I've never published anything before. I don't have any publishing background. So my question was, do you do it all your own? There is some help out there. Do you find one of the hybrid publishers, as I think they're kind of called, who say, we can do it all, we're turnkey, we do it all for you, or do you strike out on your own?
There's depending on what you want, you can choose obviously different avenues. I usually recommend for people to self-publish their first book. And the reason I always usually recommend that is because just in the time you're going to spend in getting a hybrid publisher, traditional publisher, it's going to take you 3 to 5 years to publish with a hybrid or traditional publisher, where it could take you a year and a half to publish by self-publishing. Right. So the time constraint is much shorter if you're self-publishing, because you can get it done faster. You don't have to wait for people approving you and doing the process and pitching all those letters to people and then getting the 100 no's before you finally get somebody who's going to say yes. Right. So that's one of the things I really recommend people go with self-publishing. And the other is that some people do want to have a traditional publisher or a hybrid publisher publish their book. And so if that's a route you do want to go, you can go that route. But there are a lot of things that you need to prepare yourself, writing up your proposal and do you want to get an agent or not? So there's a lot of considerations just within those decisions. And, if you want to get an agent, that's another expense. But the one thing I do always recommend to people, even if you're self-publishing, is always, always, always pay a really good editor, a really good line editor to edit your book, and a developmental editor. Because without professional editing, your book is not going to look professional. It's just going to look like someone wrote it who wasn't a writer. So even if you're not a writer, you can still write a really awesome published book, but you always want to get a professional editor to edit your work.
Yeah. Are you reading my notes? Because that was my next question. And that's the most daunting. That's the most daunting part for me was I'm decent at grammar. I'm decent at spelling, but we're all going to make mistakes in the process. And where do you suggest going to find those good editors?
So there's a couple places I always refer people to find good editors. Now, it doesn't mean that every editor on this platform is going to be good. Many of the editors on these platforms are going to be good because they're professional or professionally trained. So one is Readsy, which is a big platform. You'll get people, all the people on Readsy have worked for the big five publishers, some aspect. And then the other one, you can also find really good people that are professionally trained to edit your book, is called EFA. So that's the Editorial Freelancers Association. And I'm a part of that membership. You can find a lot of different editors on EFA as well. So you just literally write in what you're looking for, and then you post it on the job board, and it will automatically email all the editors who do those types of work. And then those people can reply back to you and tell you a little bit more about themselves and maybe some pricing or however they're going to move forward. So those are the two platforms I recommend. I don't recommend people going on Upwork or Fiverr to find an editor, because every time I have literally re-edited a client's book, they usually have found somebody on Fiverr or Upwork, because typically you don't know what you're getting on Fiverr or Upwork. Like, there's no, not referral, vetting, but there's process. No vetting. Right, exactly. Right. Whereas Readsy and EFA, they do vetting before they put you on the platform.
Yeah, I was able to find a really good development editor on Readsy, and a marketing professional. Build your website. You can get a tremendous amount of great resources on Readsy. I've not tried EFA, but I've heard great things about them. So you've written your book, you've got it edited, you're ready to roll. Another thing I would suggest, and I have a great cover, and you can find good cover artists on Readsy as well. You have to have a good cover. I judge a book by its cover. Most readers judge a book by its cover. So spend the money on editing, spend the money on a good cover. But once you've got all that, you've got a book that you feel really good about, ready to go as a self-published author. Now you got to get it to the marketplace, right? So the big question, do you go wide or do you go Amazon exclusive?
Yeah, that again depends on what your purpose is of your book, what you want to do with it. So if you are obviously, we always want to sell more books, right? So I always say you definitely want it on Amazon, because Amazon, 80% of books are sold on Amazon. But you can also distribute to libraries, to bookstores, to airport bookstores, things like that. I just literally flew on an airplane last week, and I'm like, why am I calling it airplane bookstore? And you can do those things, but all those things have, obviously, they're time consuming. There's drawbacks, there's benefits to certain ones. Local independent bookstores are another, thing, as opposed to a Barnes & Noble or a big box bookstore. And so all of the little bookstores have their own process for getting, applying to put your book in that store. And I always recommend to people, just reach out to the independent bookstore individually and say like, hey, this is my book. Like, you know, I have a book I would like to put in your bookstore. Like, please let me know, like, instructions on how do I apply to put my book in your bookstore, basically. And because every independent bookstore is different, just like every big box store is a little bit different. One of the things that is a benefit, obviously you're getting wider distribution if you put it in independent bookstores or a bigger bookstore. However, some of the bookstores, and these are more the bigger box stores, like if you don't sell your book, like say they buy 12 books and they only sell 3 or 4 of them. Well, you have the choice of either buying and shipping back those books or they destroy them. So there's not a lot of profit to be made in a big box store unless you are someone who has like a really large mailing list and or someone who's like a really big public figure where people are going to look at your book or look for your book in a big box store. So that's something to consider as well. I would always recommend putting your book in a library, and a really great way to do that is through Draft to Digital. So they're a book distributor that they specialize in ebooks. And so you can distribute your ebook and also your paperback and your audiobook through Draft to Digital to libraries. And so that obviously gets your book into, you know, you sell more copies of your book, but it also gets it into more hands and gets more viewership because you're at a library. So that's another consideration to make. And those are pretty, those aren't really hard to get into a library. It does take some time, but once a library has your book, if it gets checked out a lot, they're more likely to buy other copies of your book. And they're relatively easy to deal with the library system because they have a very straightforward process of it, like submitting it to your library. Another one is like specialty and gift stores. So if your book would like apply to a specialty or gift store, or someone who would shop there would like your book, especially if it's like a local book, like if you have a local niche book for your town and then you have local gift shops at your town, that's a really great, obviously, outlet, because people who are walking into specialty stores, a lot of them are probably going to be tourists, or at least half of them. And so people would be looking for something like that in a specialty store. So depending on your market and who you want to sell to, putting it on different platforms is always a good idea. Like there's also like BookHub and some other smaller like digital platforms you can put it on. However, I always recommend people, no matter what, always publish your book on Amazon. You can, because you get the most exposure there. So you can also publish your book. Obviously, you can sell it on your own website, but you cannot sell it on your own website if you have an Amazon ISBN, because Amazon ISBNs, which are the free ISBNs, are proprietary to Amazon only. So if you do use an Amazon ISBN, which I do not recommend, I always recommend people go on My Identifiers and then purchase the 10 pack. Because you need one ISBN for every format of your book. So you need one for the audiobook, one for your ebook, one for your print book. And if you have a hardcover, you need one for your hardcover. So there's four right there. Especially if you plan on publishing more than one book, always buy the 10 pack, because it's much more economical to buy the 10 pack of ISBNs. But if you have an Amazon ISBN, you cannot buy your book and sell it yourself. Like if you're a speaker, you can't buy your book and like 100 copies of your book and go to a speaking engagement and sell it. You can't sell your own book at any tables or anything like that. You can only sell it on Amazon. So that's why I recommend to people to buy your own independent ISBN.
Going back to the local bookstore angle, a lot of local bookstores are looking for, obviously they want people in the door. So if you offer to do a book signing or something of that nature, a lot of times they'll buy a few of your books, put it on the shelf, and that gets people into their store. It gets you access to readers who may not know you. And it also gets traffic for the bookstore. So that's another really good reason for going to a local bookstore versus a big box bookstore, which is quite difficult to get in to do a book signing with them. If you get your ISBN not from Amazon, can you still go exclusive on Amazon?
Yeah, and that's a great question. We're actually going to take a little break right here, and I'm going to have you re-ask me that when we come back, and then I'll answer that after the break. So let's take a little break right here, my friends, and then we will come back, follow up with Brad's question right after the break. Hey, friends and future authors. I know what it's like to sit at your desk staring at your manuscript and wondering if you're the only person who feels alone when writing your book. That's why I created the Publishing for Professionals Virtual Writing Retreat, a sanctuary for leaders like you who are crafting books to elevate your thought leadership. Our writing retreat offers writing blocks, publishing support. Sign up today at www.writeforyou.me and click on events to register for this complimentary writing retreat today. Now let's get back to the show. Okay, we are back with Brad Elder. He's a published author and he has an awesome fiction thriller book out that we're going to talk about more at the end of this episode. But so, Brad, re-ask your question again that you just asked right before the break so people can get a refresher.
Absolutely. If you get your ISBN number not from Amazon, can you still go exclusive on Amazon?
So you can purchase your own ISBN and still go to exclusive on Amazon. You just have to check off the box that says you want to go exclusive on Amazon. And so the benefit of going exclusive on Amazon is Amazon gives you a little bit more royalties if you go exclusive on Amazon. But if you do go exclusive on Amazon, then you cannot sell your book through other distributors such as any of the box stores, any independent sellers. Although I'm not sure on the independent seller ones, but I know you won't be able to, if you do go exclusive on Amazon, you won't be able to post it on your own website and sell it individually like that as well. So that's another thing to consider.
Yeah, I think the only thing they've relaxed, and that's recently, is you can put them in libraries now. If yes. you're, going on KU or Amazon exclusive. So, okay, let's say, like me, I went through Ingram Sparks to do my print books. I do want to go Amazon, try out going KU now, Kindle Unlimited. Do I have to, when I'm signing up for KDP, do I need to re-download everything for them, the PDF version along with the cover, and go through that process again along with the EPUB version? Do I have to redo everything to go directly with KDP?
When you signed up with Ingram Spark, because Ingram Spark also, you can publish through Ingram Spark to Amazon. So if you've already published through Ingram Spark to Amazon, then no, you don't have to redo your Amazon account because it's already published on Amazon. You can actually still, I'm pretty sure you could still order author copies from Amazon because your KDP account and your bookshelf, they'll be on there. There should be an option to also order them from Amazon if you wanted to do that as well. But yeah, you don't have to redo it because it's already set up on Amazon. As long as you set that up with your initial thing with Ingram Spark, it should be there on Amazon, so you don't have to redo that.
Okay, very good. Obviously, we have the book on Amazon now or wherever we put it. How are people going to find out about this thing?
Yes.
Because there's 40 million books on Amazon or something of that nature. How do you go about getting the word out to the marketplace?
So that's a great question. So a lot of people obviously use their own email list, right? Because that's the first thing people go to. Some people post on social media, like whatever platform that they're on, like whether that's TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn. And so obviously having a really good book marketing campaign is essential to getting the word out about your book so people know it's out there and that they can buy it. Another thing you can do obviously is Amazon ads. Like I know some people, spend they have a set budget for their Amazon ads every month so that they can sell more books. Because when you have an Amazon ad, Amazon, anytime someone's searching for your genre of book, it will put it at the top and it will say sponsored so people know it's an ad, but it gets more eyeballs on your book. So the more eyeballs on your book, obviously the more chances you have of people buying it. Because without an Amazon ad, you're just relying on whatever the algorithm is, and they're always going to put the sponsored books at the top.
And no one knows what that algorithm is either.
Right? I don't think people at Amazon know what that algorithm is.
I think it's got a life of its own. Maybe only the algorithm knows what the algorithm is.
Right? I know. I have not figured out any part of that algorithm at all.
I just published my audiobook as well. I went through Audible, ACX, I believe it's called, to do that. Are there any specific marketing campaigns for audiobooks that you would suggest that are different than your print or ebook?
Oh, that's a great question. I know there are certain platforms where people listen to audiobooks more. Like I know obviously on Audible and things like that, you can run ads for your book on Audible, I believe, and like other audiobook listening platforms. So that would be an option, obviously running an ad. But as far as general book, I would say, I know there's Goodreads and BookBub and things like that. So there are some different platforms. If you find out what platforms, I know Goodreads is just general reading, but I know there are some platforms also that people are more listening to audiobooks on. And I know there's Facebook groups of people who like to listen to audiobooks and things like that. But I know also they probably don't, I don't know if it, some groups may or may not allow you to put your book on there.
Self-promote. Right.
Right. Yeah. But another thing you can do too is I know when I did my audiobook, ACX offers you so many free giveaways for your audiobook. So you can actually use that as a contest, as like a contest form or something like that, and say like, hey, if you download this lead magnet, you get a chance to, get a chance to win my audiobook. Something like that you could do. But you just have to find where people are listening to audiobooks and or the genre of book that you listen to. And if you can find a group of people that love audiobooks and thriller audiobooks, then you're set. Like, that's a great place to market.
So you mentioned BookBub, you mentioned Goodreads. How vital are those to your success? And I know, Neach, you can, like, I know that on Goodreads, the giveaway program, when you give, offer giveaway of signed book, I've had real good success with the amount of entrants and added to their to read bookshelf is what it's what it's called. And those are the two big ones out there, right? Are there any others that you see that are growing, that are, hey, look out for this one?
Yeah, I've tried some different platforms with a few of my books. I didn't get a lot of feedback. And again, it may have been just I wasn't consistent enough with it as well, because I like Goodreads a lot because I know it's the most one of the most popular ones. I mean, I know there are some others out there that are specific to specific genres. So I would say if you find one of those like Goodreads, but it's specifically for your genre, definitely get on it. I just haven't done a lot of looking in like in the fictions area because I'm mostly focused on nonfiction.
Sure.
But definitely get out and just check it out and see, like, Google up, like, what are book clubs for thriller fiction books and see what pops up. And then just like go, I always recommend that people go in that group as like a reader to see like how people are interacting, things like that, before you make them the financial investment of like putting money into an ad.
Yeah, I've had some success on parent websites called Written Word, I believe, but it's Bargain Booksy, Free Booksy. Those things are kind of cool to get your, and it's really not that expensive to get the word out there. Book Sweeps is another one. You can enter your book into, they're going to do a giveaway. Let's say, they offer in my genre, 10 great books, usually from independent authors like myself, but they'll also put in like a Freda McFadden book or something like that as the hook where people have heard of, but you get along with that, you're able to collect their email addresses, which you can't on Goodreads and you can't on BookBub, and you certainly cannot on Amazon. And to an independent author, that email is vital to ongoing success, in at least in my opinion, because if Amazon changes the rules, which they're prone to do, or if they stop selling books, you may have thousands of readers out there and you have absolutely no clue who they are. However, if you've got that email address, and again, there's some really good ways to do that. If you've got that email address, then you do have a way to connect with them. You show your personality. There's only so much you can show on an Amazon page or your author page. Those are, to me, have been some of the better sites out there that you can collect email addresses and offer your whoever's signing up something of value as well. You don't want to just say, hey, sign up for, like you tell all your buddies, hey, I'm going to send you an email. You need to sign up for this. We all have those that we did, but there's also others out there other sites out there. And those are the two best that I've found to be able to collect those email addresses. And then once you have those, obviously you can build a platform from there. And which leads me to my second point. Obviously, Kickstarter is a huge platform. It's becoming an even bigger platform in publishing. Would you have, and this may be an unfair question, would you have an idea how many email addresses or how many contacts you need in your mailing list to really think about doing a Kickstarter campaign? Because that's really where most of your people are going to come from who know you well enough to go, okay, I'm going to give you 20, 30, 50, 100 bucks, whatever it is to be a part of this.
Yeah, I don't think you have to have a certain amount of like emails for that. I think you have to have like a good following and you have to have people who like are really highly interested in whatever it is that you're writing. So Kickstarter is a great place to raise money for your book. There's another platform also I've worked with, Danielle Desir, it's called Grants for Creators. And so this platform specifically is, she curates all these different types of grants for all sorts of creatives. So like artists, writers, podcasters, screenwriters, like you name it, she has a grant that she has probably curated and put on her list. And so that's another great way to find money for your project. So if you can find a grant on her list, that is like, you know, geared towards what you're doing and what a grantor wants to give money to, that's a great way to get money for your project as well. Is you can go on Grants for Creators and write a grant for your book. I actually have a client right now who's doing that. He's looking for grants to get grant money to fund his book.
Yeah, because it's not an insignificant amount of money to publish a book, especially when it comes to how much you're going to spend on marketing. Everybody I talk to, unless you catch lightning in a bottle, especially in the fiction world, unless you catch lightning in a bottle, you need two or three books really to make much money. And main reason is that lead magnet, you know, that hook that you want to get. And you mentioned lead magnet earlier. I'm assuming everyone knows what lead magnet is.
Lead magnet, for people who do not know, is basically a freebie or a giveaway that you give somebody in exchange for their email address. And if you don't know what it is, you've probably already signed up for one. So for example, someone has offered you like, oh, here's a self-publishing checklist, you know, put your information in here and you give them your name and your email. And then they automatically pops up or they email it to you. And then you can download that PDF for your self-publishing checklist. So that's what a lead magnet is. And it doesn't have to be a checklist. It can be an ebook. It can be a free freebie course. It can be a video. It can be whatever. It can be a lot of different free things. But typically it's something that's electronic, that's easy to deliver. And it's not going to be like one-on-one time or sometimes it's a live workshop, but usually it's going to be some kind of freebie that you can just easily download digitally from your computer.
And so I've started my second novel of the series, and probably a little over half. Well, I've got a little more than half the words on paper. That doesn't mean I'm halfway finished yet. How much time after your novel publishes would you say you need? Because, you know, as independent authors, we want to get out that next book. How much time would you say, no, put the manuscript aside for a little bit and really focus on marketing your first book?
I would say, because what I recommend to people is ideally you want to start marketing your first book 3 months before you publish it. If you do start 3 months before you publish it, then you have more of a cadence and then you can like jump into your next book the next year. If you can, and this is like a really tight kind of really efficient cadence, publish like one book per year. And then maybe after you publish that book, spend like 3 months, another 3 months marketing it. So if you spend 3 months for that first year marketing your book before you publish it, and then 3 months afterward, you can obviously still do some more marketing campaign, but you can also start on your second book while you're working on marketing your first book still, and then just keep that cycle going like from book to book. Now that is pretty time consuming. You will probably need to pay somebody to help you with that cadence because there's a lot of work to do in that, but that is a possibility.
And Lynn, switching gears a little bit, obviously artificial intelligence is a topic in pretty much every industry. And it's a topic in the publishing world as well. Some of it is very taboo for using an AI or a large language model to write your books for you. It's pretty taboo. However, there's a tremendous amount of uses, whether it be your processes, whether it be your marketing, things like that. Can you talk about that a little bit, get some suggestions for folks, and maybe clarify the word AI in publishing? And it doesn't mean that necessarily, I hope it doesn't mean it's writing your book for you, but kind of clarify that.
So AI, obviously artificial intelligence, a lot of people have heard about it. It is not going to take over every job in the world, as opposed to like what some people think. And I know that because sometimes I ask Siri to play a playlist and she can't even get that right. So I'm like, if she can't even get my playlist request right, how is she going to take over my job? But again, obviously, you know, there are some shifts in the workplace because of AI. For writing specifically, what I tell people is you don't want to use AI to write your book because there's a huge copyright issue with that. Like you don't want to, I've seen people like literally copy and paste stuff from AI into their book. And I'm like, no, that's a really bad idea because, you know, it's a copyright issue, but you're also taking someone else's work and using it. And I know a lot of people wouldn't want that done to them. So what I tell people, a good AI is a tool. We have to look at it as a tool and like, what are the good tool applications to use that we can use it to get our work done a little faster. So one tool you can use AI for publishing with is if you have your book written and you put your book into AI and say, hey, write me up a really good Amazon description for my fiction book. It's a thriller. And then you put a little description in it. That's fine because you're using your own work and putting it into AI for the model.
Right.
But what I don't recommend is using AI to directly write your book. Another example, as a tool, would be if you're like having a hard time coming up with a chapter title. So you put the chapter of a book in AI and say, please give me some chapter title suggestions for for this chapter of my book, and it will come up with a bunch. And usually if I do that for one of my books, I will pick and choose from different pieces of titles to make right. one title that I like.
That's a very good point. I'm seeing a lot of experts out there use it for their processes, for their, they'll allow an artificial intelligence tool. Marketing can be very time consuming.
Yes.
Yeah. You can set up a system that will do it for you. I say with your initial direction anyway, and it's almost like a scheduling is what it boils down to. So I do think it has its application in our world. I do not think it has its application getting words on paper. Like, I can always tell when someone's written an email using AI. It just feels cold.
Yeah.
And in our world, fiction's not cold, or it shouldn't be anyway. So I just got back from BoucherCon in New Orleans, and that was a big topic. Some people will almost fight you over it.
Right.
It's such a hot topic, but just use correctly and really do your research on that one. So there's no question about it.
Well, Brad, this has been fabulous coming on. Thank you for asking such great questions. And please let my listeners know where they can find your book and where they can learn more about you as an author.
Yeah, you can find it on Amazon, Recoil of Justice, or you can go directly to my website. And there's a link on my website to the Amazon page. It's bradeldernovels.com. That's B-R-A-D-E-L-D-E-R novels.com. Or follow me on my social media pages on Instagram, brad.elder.novels, or on Facebook at Brad Elder Novels. Yeah, they'll be able to catch up with and learn a little bit more about me and hopefully learn a little bit more about my book and hopefully enjoy it.
Perfect. Well, we will definitely put all those links in the show notes, which is right underneath the episode for people that are new to the show. And Brad, thank you again so much for coming on and doing a book blueprint episode with me today. This was really great. And I know my guests got a lot of really good, valuable information from it.
Well, I hope so. And thank you for having me.
Hey, my friend, thanks for joining me on the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I hope this episode has equipped you with actionable strategies for your publishing journey. Remember, your expertise becomes truly valuable when it's transformed into a professionally published book that represents your unique brand. If you found today's discussion valuable, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you get the next episode dropped right into your podcast player. Remember to start the dream of writing your book today, because your strategies could be the missing piece in someone else's success puzzle tomorrow.
The information in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The content shared by the host, guests, and any affiliates is not intended to substitute for professional legal or financial advice specific to your situation. Always seek the advice of a qualified professional with any questions you may have. The opinions expressed on the show by the host or guests are of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of Unicorn Publishing Company. Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, guests, and affiliates are not responsible or liable for any decisions made by listeners or action taken hereto based on the information discussed in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge and agree to release Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, affiliates, and guests for any liability.